1 John 3:16. And I'm going to read 16 through 18 for our call to worship. For we know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brethren. But whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Little children, listen to this. Let us not love with words or with tongue, but in deed and truth. Let's pray. Lord, I want to thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you so much for the work that you're doing in all of our lives, for teaching us how to live more godly lives. Pray that you'll bless this worship time for your honor and glory. Amen. Our text for today is Matthew 25, and it's not really our text. It's simply the text that I want to start with. And as you know, we've stepped out of Romans for Christmas season here, and today we're talking about love. I feel like I'm a little bit redundant sometimes because it seems like whenever I have the opportunity to talk about love, I do it because Jesus loves us. And that's why he came down from heaven. God is love. We know that. We're going to talk about a little bit about that today. God is love. He loves us so much that he sent his son, John 3:16. And so as we go through these texts, a disclaimer today. They might not seem like they're tying together. But if you look at the text and you follow along, and I hope you do, look at your notes. They're on the back of the bulletin. See if you can't tie all of this together. Matthew 25, verses 31 through 40. But when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all his angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. He's talking about the end time. All the nations will gather before him, and he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. I got to pause there. Who are the sheep? Who? The believers in Jesus Christ are the sheep, the righteous ones. God puts them on the right, and he puts the unbelievers, the goats, on the left. Okay, he separates them like a shepherd would goats from the sheep. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. I am really looking forward to the kingdom of heaven. Are you? Man, oh man, I can't wait. Well, I have to, but I really can't wait. And what a glorious day that's going to be. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then, listen to this, then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, and thirsty and give you something to drink? And when did we see you a stranger and invite you in and naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick and in prison and come to you? The king will answer them and say to them, truly, I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these, my brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me. So you see, we are to love one another, even to the least of them. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this message. And Lord, as we present the true gospel today, the gospel of love, I pray that you'll work in each of our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The essence of love is what I want to talk about today. And I usually start with some kind of a story, some kind of a illustration, an object lesson of some kind. And I tell you what, I looked in both of my illustration books, I looked online, and here's what I came up with. A worldly perspective of what love is. That's all I could find. Things like this. If every thought of you were a flower, I could walk forever in a flower garden. This is what the world thinks of love. You don't love someone because they're perfect. You love them in spite of the fact that they're not. Just better to have loved than to and lost than to never have loved at all. Listen to this one. Never love anyone who treats you with that like you're ordinary. Now, that makes a really nice Valentine's card, but that's not what love is. Because what? How did Jesus love us? Unconditionally. He loved the unlovely. He loved the people who killed him. Did you know that? He loved the people who spit on him. Never love anyone who treats you like ordinary. This next one kills me. When someone else's happiness is your happiness, that is love. I hope you're listening today, because we need to understand what love is, because the world has it upside down. So somehow today, I want to capture through a looking of a spattering of text all through Scripture, I want to capture the essence of what love really is. We know that God is love, right? Right? Do you agree with that? God is love. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 and 8, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. For God is love. This text is inferring that if you don't love, what? You don't know God. Because God is love. God is love. Jesus taught the same thing when he was talking with the Pharisees in Matthew chapter 22, verses 34 through 40. But when the Pharisees heard that disciples had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered themselves together. One of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him, Teacher, which is the greatest commandment of the law? And he said to him, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. How much of us needs to love God? All of us. And then he goes on and he says, This is the greatest and foremost commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depends the whole law and the prophets. Love God, love people. And that is the entire law. That wraps up the entire law. Love God, love people. Love God, love people. John also writes in 1 John chapter 3, and we're going to include in here our call to worship today. John chapter 3, starting with verse 11. For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning. You see, John writes that what he has heard in the beginning of 1 John, he says, what you have heard from the beginning is what we are telling you and what we have experienced as disciples of Jesus Christ, what they have heard and experienced, they're sharing with the world. This is the message that we have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. We should not be like Cain. Okay, who is Cain? Somebody help me out. Abel's brother. Okay, now, at the very beginning, right? What did Cain do? He killed Abel. Why? He was jealous. Is jealousy a lovely act? Is it an act of love? No, it is not. We're going to talk about that coming up too. We should not be like Cain, who was of the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own deeds were evil and his brother's were righteous. Do not be surprised, brothers, that the world hates you. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. And now our call to worship, starting with verse 16, my favorite verse. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. But if anyone has worldly goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, but let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. But this we shall know, that we are of the truth and treasure our heart before him. But whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and God knows everything. The Bible teaches that we need to do love. You've heard me say that time and time again. We need to do love, not just say it. Just like Jesus did. Jesus showed us by hanging on the cross. So how should we love one another? With compassion toward one another, forgiving one another in the same way that God, what? Forgave us. That is all over Scripture. Showing sincere and genuine concern for those around us. And maybe this cliche is a little bit overused, but even and especially during this time of year when we celebrate Jesus coming to earth, we need to love one another. We talked last week about the hope that we have in eternity, and now we're talking about the love that Jesus had for us by coming to earth and then by wanting us, dying for us, so that we can celebrate life together forever with him. Someone said to me, listen very carefully, years ago, that if we are going to be spending eternity with God, don't you think we ought to start acting like it right now? Love other people in the same way that Jesus loved you. I can't say that enough. Jesus taught the same thing in Matthew 5 when he talks about murder. Verses 21 through 24. You have heard it said that it was said of those of old, you shall not murder. And whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother is liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council. And whoever says, you fool, will be liable to the hell of fire. So if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. How many of you take God's word seriously? I'm glad that most of you raised your hand. So if we take God's word seriously, when you come before the Lord, listen to this. And you come before the Lord and you remember that you have something against one of your brothers, leave your gift there and go and be reconciled with your brother. We're going to be celebrating the table today. And if you are visiting with us, you're welcome to the table. And our only prerequisite for celebrating the Lord's table is that you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Yep. So be reconciled with your brother before we come to the table. Don't ignore God's word. Please take care of the problem. That's why we take care of anger right away. Scripture teaches that. Listen to this, Ephesians 4, 25 through 26. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down in anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Give no opportunity to the devil. This is not saying do not be angry. Don't misunderstand Scripture. Even Jesus himself was angry. What it's saying is don't dwell on the anger. Be reconciled to your brother and sister. Don't hang on to it. We have a tendency to hang on to that, and bitterness develops in our heart. I love what the NIV says in this text. It says, do not give the devil a foothold. I'm thinking of a mountain climber. You know, you got footholds all over the place, all the way up the mountain. And a foothold is a good hold that you can stand on and lift the rest of your weight. You got a pack on, and, you know, and for me, I'm carrying a little bit of weight. It's got to be strong. And if we give the devil a full hold in our life, he's going to get everything. He's going to get everything. Do not give the devil an opportunity or a foothold. So what kind of opportunities do we give the devil? I've got two of them and I want to talk about. First off, if we do not love our brothers and sisters, then we cannot love God, because God is love. God is love. Secondly, if we are willing to throw away our love for God for an earthly dispute, then the devil has already got his foothold. He's already won the battle for your heart. Amen? Amen. I hope you're hearing me today. We need to love other people in the same way that God has loved me. In closing, I want to read one of the definitions of love in the Bible, 1 Corinthians 13. We're going to start with verse 1. If I speak with tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have a gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor, and if I surrender to my body to the burning, but do not have love, it profits me nothing. What these first few verses here are saying in 1 Corinthians 13 is we need to die to ourselves and give our wishes over to Him. And then the second part here, verse 4, love is patient, love is kind, it is not jealous. Remember Cain and Abel? It is not jealous. Love does not brag, and it is not arrogant. It does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own, is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, and also you also love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Amen. John 13, 34 through 35. a new commandment I give you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also may love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. Amen. Have a great day.